In my lesson yesterday, I read the remaining verses of chapter 5. In these verses, Paul is comparing the life under the Spirit with victory over the flesh, which these converts were considering. The man in Christ today does not face the same threat of bondage to law, but the strict alternative of a life under the Spirit and under sin are no less real. It's the only safeguard against a life under sin is a life under the Spirit. The contrast between the Spirit and the flesh is further seen in the manifestations of the work of the flesh. After enumerating them, Paul forewarns the Galatian believers that those who do such things are excluded from God's kingdom. The first three works relate to sexual gratification and depravity. Paul begins here because of the moral climates of his world. Every imaginable form of immorality was commonly and openly practiced by rulers, philosophers, poets, priests, and worshipers. With no sense of shame or remorse, it was the accepted way of life. It is little wonder that this was a problem with which Paul greatly concerned himself as he dealt with his converts from paganism. Paul would say, "There is no compromise. Immorality could have no place in the Christian's life." The second group of evil works relates to the practice of heathen religion, which were also a problem among Paul's converts from paganism. The basic evil in idolatry is that the creation is worshipped instead of the Creator. Whenever anything in the world begins to hold the principal place in our hearts and minds, then that thing has become an idol. The next eight works of the flesh are the heart of the vice list. All eight of them have to do with interhuman relations, which points to the fact that this looms uttermost in Paul's concern. One of the most complex works of the flesh is wrath, which has a large range of meaning, including human wrath, divine, noble, and destructive. The New Testament is quite clear that such displays of temper are sinful manifestations, that a man is still in the grip of his own lower nature. The next three works of the flesh, described in more detail, variance, strife, division. Paul was concerned about division, which are caused by wrong motives, which can be traced back to the sinful flesh. To have a difference with someone doesn't mean you can't have fellowship, because a vital part of freedom and love is respect for the opinions of others, even when they conflict with ours. However, it behooves every believer to examine his heart constantly, lest prejudice be mistaken for principles and stubbornness for dedication. What is true of the individual applies no less to the church. Theological differences based on convictions must be distinguished from divisions that are motivated by self-seeking. A further step in the destructive path of divisiveness is heresy. Paul uses this here in reference to the divisive elements in the church, who form themselves into groups. Such groups fragmented the church, and a fragmented church is no church at all. And then there's that word envyings, which has no possibility for good. Envy produces bitter resentment and often an effort to deprive others of their good fortune or success. Paul was concerned about the unity and the harmony of the Christian fellowship. No man lives or dies unto himself. Sin is a two-edged sword. It cuts edges of personal responsibility and social consequences. Such evils cannot be swept under the carpet of compromise or pretense. People who live by the flesh cannot dwell together in harmony. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.